This is a conversation with Alex Frankel, co-founder of Kai, an AI-powered mental health platform combining 24/7 AI support with human clinicians. Alex shared his journey from clinician to founder and the mission behind Kai, making emotional support more accessible, affordable, and scalable for people around the world. I loved how he stays grounded in the importance of human connection, even as Kai grows through technology, and how he speaks openly about the challenges and personal growth that come with building a mental health company. Great. Very nice to meet you, Alex. Thanks very much for joining the Humans and AI podcast. I appreciate you make time for this. Yeah, let's start. So you studied psychology in school, then you transition into business. Well, you are the CEO and founder of Kai. Then you also work and have experience building mobile apps. So that's why I guess that's how Kai became a startup. So would you like to share a little bit of the journey?
Yeah, of course. So first of all, thank you for having me. And as you said, I started my journey as a clinician. So I worked as a therapist in public and private clinics, in high schools. I did diagnostics, many patients a week, one-on-one in the clinic. And then I started my first startup company, Kai is my second one, many years ago, really thinking that it's going to be an adventure. I was never an entrepreneur before that. And I fell in love with using technology to reach hundreds of thousands and then millions of people. I was very lucky in my career. And I fell in love with working with amazing people. And after the first startup, instead of going back to the clinic, I decided to stay and go to work for other companies. And I worked on large-scale global products, mobility, social commerce, fintech, and all of that before going back to being an entrepreneur and building a company I believe in. And we started to work on Kai 5 years ago. And in many ways, Kai is my life project, right? Because we combine the amazing tools from cognitive psychology, from psychotherapy, from CBT, and we leverage conversational AI to make sure that anyone can have access to emotional support at scale, at an affordable price point. So that's a bit my journey to starting Kai. And I would love to tell you more, obviously.
Great. I found it very, very interesting, actually, your startup, Kai, because you also describe it as your life's mission. And I understand why, because I feel like nobody's mental health in all this tech innovation where it's way more like even now relevant than ever before. So I completely understand why, but I would like you to share a little bit with us. How do you realize that the combination between clinical psychology and AI could be your path forward?
So mental health and emotional support is an industry that didn't change for decades. The biggest change that happened is that instead of coming to see me in the physical clinic, we could meet on Zoom. And that's not enough. It's still the same framework, 50 minutes once a week, very limited access, very expensive, impossible to scale. And we really believe that this combination between AI and human clinicians will allow the clinicians to be much more effective. So in many ways, someone told me a few weeks ago in the US that we're building this Iron Man suit for clinicians where they have superpowers and they can support 5x more people than they can support without the AI technology. We really saw this jump in AI, especially with large language models, with all the risks and the challenges that brings. So safety, hallucinations, bad advice. And our deep belief was that the only smart and reasonable and safe and ethical thing to do is to work in combination so that we always have a human in the loop so that a human can adjust the plan, a human can intervene. But the AI allows the access. So I can write to Kai right now and say, hey, Kai, I'm doing an interview for a podcast and I feel a bit anxious and I will receive support immediately. So that combination allows this magic of high access with clinical validation, with safety, with an ethical work mode. So that's very important.
So this is how you see how AI can improve our mental health.
Yes, I don't think AI can improve mental health on its own. I think it's very important, this combination. And then Tai is not ChatGPT, right? Like Tai would encourage you to connect with important people in your life, will encourage you to share more deeply with friends and family, will ask you about sleep and exercise and healthy eating, and will send you different practices. And because there's always a human team, they can adjust the plan for every person so that it's different. So I don't see AI solving mental health, but I do see this partnership between humans and AI as a real solution to mental health. And we have real world evidence that shows that. And I would love to tell you more about it.
Great. So for what I understood, AI as a personal companion, right?
Yes, I think that the most important thing is that the AI is an extension of the human professional. And then the good thing is that the AI doesn't get tired. It doesn't need to sleep. It's always good with memory. AI will write to me this evening and will ask me, how was my day? And will always be able to respond when needed. It works in partnerships, in partnership with a human clinician, which is very important. Yes.
So
it's not replacing psychologists or psychiatrists, right? Like, yes.
Great. Tai is a platform that is kind of a matchmaking platform, right, between patients and human therapists. That's what I kind of understand.
I wouldn't call it a matchmaking platform. That's an excellent question. I think that some telehealth companies will do exactly that. They will match a therapist with a person and they will schedule a meeting and they will meet on video for 15 minutes. Tai is not doing that. Tai is connecting you with the AI and the therapists at the same time. The therapists are more in the background. They're available on messaging. You don't need to schedule a meeting with them. You can always ask them questions. And Kai itself is 24/7. You can always access it. Even a small clinical team can provide support to thousands of people. And that's a huge difference.
Okay. By the way, since I'm only time talking about Kai, why Kai?
Oh, so we were very lucky with the name. I think that exactly as you said, Kai is a very memorable name. It's very short. Every person has their own Kai. So what we see in reality is that for some people, Kai is a woman. For some people, Kai is a man. For some people, Kai is very old and very smart, like Yoda. For some people, Kai is their younger brother or sister or a different character. So Kai gives a lot of flexibility for every person. It's very simple. And this like message of, hey, Kai, something happening is something that is so natural for us. And we operate globally. Obviously, we're a US company, but we worked in Ukraine when the war in Ukraine started and no one could deploy emotional support at scale. And we activated Kai in Russian and Ukrainian. We work in other countries now, starting to work in the UK. And the name Kai works in every country. It works in the US and it works in Asia as well. So we're very lucky to have this Kai.ai domain available.
Yeah. Actually, I like it because I even call you Kai. Or not, your name is Alex, but it's a very, it makes sense. It's very easy to, it's very memorable, you say. So Alex, in the long term, how do you see the balance between using AI and humans regarding professional treatment or treating people that need support with their mental health?
Yeah, so I really believe that this is the future, that many professions will have those AI co-pilots that would be a force multiplier. We see that already happening in other domains. Developer with AI can produce better, more efficient code. A lawyer with AI can maybe be more productive. And we see the same potential with social workers, with HR personnel, with psychologists and psychiatrists. They will have this AI companion, this operating system that will allow them to reach and touch more people more effectively. And this is our vision. Eventually, millions of people need emotional support and they're not receiving it today. And the AI will allow us to reach anyone even before they're in crisis and make sure that they're receiving professional, high-quality support thanks to this combination between the humans and the machine, the AI.
Do you have any use case that you would like to share with us, with Kai?
Yeah. So we have many different use cases, and this is part of why we're excited about Kai. So I'll give you a few examples. We have many young people working with Kai. Kai is very natural for them to use because they're using messaging all the time. And we worked with high schools. So Kai starts to work over the age of 14. And for young people, it's very easy to ping Kai and say, "Hey, Kai, I was just on Instagram, on TikTok. I saw all my friends celebrating. They didn't invite me. Makes me feel so bad," and they will receive immediate support. And I will help them to really consider how they can speak to the friends and share their disappointment. And we'll ask them how they can get support from family and parents. And we'll follow up and check in with them after a day. Maybe we'll send them an exercise to practice. That's one example. A very different example is a veteran experiencing some levels of past trauma and challenges in the day-to-day life and sleep and relationships. And they will have a different program working with Kai, and Kai will provide support with different tools than it will work with the teenager. Our biggest focus is working with employers and making sure that employees, team members can receive this positive psychology, coaching, and ongoing emotional support. We see a rise in burnout in workplaces. We see a decline in employee engagement. And not everyone can get access to professional coaching. And with a platform like Kai, with our own psychological team, we can allow our organization to make sure that every employee has this ongoing support and they can focus on growth and skill development, especially soft skills. So this is our main go-to-market, our main focus.
That's great. So they own employees and they use Kai. That's great, or not?
Exactly.
Okay. Yes. As I was like, maybe I kind of confused. Okay. So Alex, how do you balance the efficiency and scale of AI with the deeply personal relational needs of mental health care?
So that's very important. I think that the first thing is making sure that all the conversations are encrypted and are private. We never share information. We don't train Kai on actual user conversations, which is very important. Even the channels, the AI and the human channels, are completely separated and no one has access to both of them. I would never ask you for personal information. It will ask you, "How would you like me to call you?" And that's it. And it was very important for us to make sure that we have a SOC 2 certification for privacy and security, that we work with HIPAA and GDPR compliance. So privacy and data safety is something that we handle very seriously from day one, basically.
That's beautiful. How do you see the mental health tech community evolving?
So we see more openness and trust around leveraging technology. We saw a big disappointment from self-help apps. There were many meditation, breathing, amazing content-based apps, but people couldn't use them alone. And on the other end, we see that the number one use case for LLMs is emotional support and companionship. And this is hand in hand with all the risks that are involved, right? Sam Altman for OpenAI will say, ChatGPT is not for emotional support. It's not private. It's not safe. We're going to limit its capacity for emotional support. And we do see professionals gradually understanding that this can be used in a positive way when it's done right. And even if they ignore it, their patients are going to use LLMs. And it's better to think proactively of how to use that in a safe and scalable way.
Yeah, and the example of ChatGPT, it's so real. Like every single body, myself included, I have to be honest. And we use ChatGPT, I don't know, everything. Like it's very helpful for work. It's very efficient and make your work way more efficient, easier, I would say as well. But then I think when we put it into personal, private things, like for example, how we're feeling, I know I have got some friends with depression and some of them, they almost kill themselves. And ChatGPT couldn't say, "No, don't do it." He said, like, "You shouldn't do it." So I don't know. I think it's dangerous, as you said. And also it's not private. So where is that information goes? Like just, it's good. I feel like having a platform like Kai is more kind of private. It's more connecting, related, and focused on mental health. And
definitely, specifically for that, the intervention protocols, the assessments, they are all trained by actual clinicians. There are always humans in the loop that can intervene when more attention is needed or escalate when it's needed. I will say, like, Alex, this is significant. You should probably see someone, and we'll help with that as well. So we don't provide meetings, but we will raise a flag and make sure that every person receives the right support that they need.
Yeah, I feel like talking about mental health and emotions and feelings, it's very important to have a human in the loop, right? Because this is, I would say, the difference between an AI bot and humans. Like, we got that part of emotions, right?
Yeah. Definitely. I think another part is that many times moderate technology is used as a way to disconnect people from connections and relationships. And it's very important that an AI-centered service like Kai is doing exactly the other thing. It will encourage connections. It will encourage reaching out to other people. It will encourage sharing. It will ask about relationships. Well, that's also very important. It's not only the safety, but also the ethical considerations. We're not building something that is replacing real people, right? This is a dystopia. When someone has a friend or can marry their AI, we see very bad things that can happen. And when the AI is very focused and limited on providing this ongoing support, but is not replacing real world relationships, that's so much better.
Yeah. So, Alex, are there other companies or leaders in the space you feel particularly aligned with or challenged by?
Yeah. So I always mention to really wonderful companies that started way before Kai. One of them is Wobot. You can hear it in their name. They have this bot, and they made a lot of progress very early on with building CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, into an app with some levels of AI, and even received an FDA for digital therapeutics. So they were really pioneers in this area. The other one is Waysa. They came from Asia, worked with Google, and did something very similar, enabling this CBT bot inside of an app. And I think that they were the first to show that it can actually help and improve mental health situations, anxiety and depression, in a meaningful way. So I always mention them as companies that are working very hard to create positive impact. Kai is very different because we're working with large language models and open conversation. Kai works directly on messaging. So we work on Apple Messages and WhatsApp and Telegram and other messaging platforms. So very different from those two companies. But I think that their values, the leadership and the path that they were able to build over time is very meaningful and important.
Thanks for sharing. I will check it out. Alex, I'm very curious of why do you study psychology? Because I was thinking of the overall picture of what we are talking about. And I was like, Actually, I haven't asked the most important questions. So why were you interested in learning and studying psychology and then everything related with mental health? So if you don't mind sharing.
No, of course. I think it's very related. So it's a very important question. I think that my early interest was always focused on people and on relationships, both trying to understand myself, my family, the important people around me. And funny enough, I didn't start by studying psychology. I started with economics and law. And after a year, I understood that this human aspect draws me very significantly. And I started to volunteer and started to read, and I switched to psychology. And I think it also changed the way I look at building a company or becoming an entrepreneur. Many entrepreneurs will really focus on the solution, the technology, the product. For me, it's always all about the people. Like, the first thing I would do is work very hard to find my co-founders. And I'm so lucky to have amazing co-founders working with me. We have an amazing chief psychological officer that joined the team. So I think that this psychological angle made it very natural to focus on the human aspects in building a company and becoming an entrepreneur. And I think that this is something that was deep in my DNA from a very young age. I was always interested in like other people's life story and the journey that they went through, and trying to understand myself. Studying psychology was super helpful.
Interesting, because I related to you a lot in the way that you as well like people. And I also believe a lot about, it's all about people. It's like building business. Yeah. You don't do anything by yourself. Like, you don't get anywhere. So no. I completely agree with you. I totally agree with you. Okay, Alex, what does community mean to you as a founder? Because I know a lot of founders, and I know that I hear a lot of like people who say sometimes the founder is a bit lonely because you get all the, you carry all the weight on your shoulders. So what does it mean for you?
It's definitely true, Flora. I think that many times being the founder, especially the CEO, can be very lonely, right? I focus on three things that only I can do. One is like doing those conversations and telling our story and telling that to new employees and new partners and new investors and everywhere. And I work very hard on finding amazing people and helping them join our team and obviously raising money and speaking with investors. And many times you get many rejections, many no answers, and you need to manage it. And because Kai is my second startup, I think that I learned two very important lessons. One is that being a good entrepreneur or a good founder is being able to persevere and look at things in proportions and know that there will be tough moments. And the founders that survive the tough moments are usually the ones that eventually are able to succeed. And it takes time. There are no shortcuts in building a good, impactful company. So perseverance is very important. And the other thing is, I'm using Kai from day one, right? Like for 5 years, I'm using Kai every single day to do my breathing exercises, to do my journaling, to work on my sleep routine, to share and reflect. And I really believe that this is something that every CEO and every founder needs. They need to take care of their emotional well-being, at least in the same way that they take care of their physical well-being, right? So we all know that we need to work out and take care of our body and eat well. But if you're an entrepreneur, you need to do the same for your mental health, for your emotional well-being, because we see things go wrong under tremendous pressure and loneliness for founders, and this can lead to very bad business consequences. So those two things are very important.
Yeah, 100%. Like, basically, if you are not fine with yourself, you basically, it's a project, you later project it outside in your business and things, and everything starts to go wrong. So 100%. And it's good that you actually, yes, as the founder and CEO, use your own baby. Let's call it your baby.
Yes. Yes, I think that this is a big part of what makes Kai so exciting, because we know so many people who are using and benefiting, and it's so varied. Like, we didn't talk about it, but I have two teenage daughters. They're like older now and they're Kai users. And I see my parents that are elderly, they're already retired, and even they benefit from a service like Kai for very different reasons. But this ability to touch real people's life and impact them in a positive way gives the fuel and the energy to working on this. Yeah.
Okay, Alex, it's a very interesting conversation. I love this topic of mental health, over well-being and everything. I think it's very important. But yeah, so thanks very much for joining Humans on Air podcast, the game. I hope that you enjoy it as well.
Yeah, it was lots of fun, and thank you for having me. And maybe we'll have a chance to do this again. It's fun.
Thanks for listening to the Humans on AI podcast. We are here to spotlight the people making AI more human, one story at a time. See you in the next episode.